Hi everyone, my name is Sonia Lee. I'm a current MSP student at Johns Hopkins, and today I'll be presenting survey research that I did about distracted driving behaviors in undergraduates that was done while I was a senior at Rutgers University. No relationships to disclose. So I'll be walking you through like why we chose this research topic, the methodology, what we found, limitations and strengths, and what potential future plans with the data might be. So we chose to focus on this age group of undergraduates between the ages of 18 to 25 because despite being a minority of drivers, younger people within this age range do constitute the majority of fatal motor vehicle and traffic crashes. This might be attributable to youthful inexperience and risky behaviors, and there's also the role of technological advancements. One of the risky behaviors identified was secondary tasks done simultaneously along with driving. There was a 2010 U.S. Government Accountability Office report that talked about the lack of data with this age group and systems with the graduated driver's licenses, so we thought we would conduct survey research within our university to try to begin to fill that data gap. So the first step was literature review. I consulted reliable sources such as the National Highway and Traffic Safety Administration, the CDC's Mortality and Morbidity Weekly Report, the New England Journal of Medicine, Pew Research, the American Academy of Pediatrics, etc. The questions were either adapted from existing sources or modified to suit the population group that we were studying. After IRB approval, we used PsychData, which is a secure data collection site. And we had 110 participants. I'll address later why the sample size was unexpectedly small. We recruited them from emails, and we used SPSS for preliminary data analysis. So we ran the descriptive statistics on the survey results that we got. A quick overview of the demographics, 81% female, 19% male. This makes sense because the public health school at Rutgers is majority female, and I also advertised this to the Women's College at Rutgers because I was trying to find administrators who were willing to send this out. The majority of respondents were seniors and juniors, and that does correlate with the students who are most likely to have cars on campus. And the majority lived in a suburban area, which is basically what New Jersey is. So here I'm showcasing results that were particularly of note. As for how often respondents read but didn't send texts or emails while driving, we found that 71% admitted to at least sometimes using electronic devices. The stratification was always, frequently, sometimes, rarely, never, just as a quick background for where those numbers came from. For how many seconds respondents believed a driver could take the eyes off the road before driving became significantly more dangerous, 17% cited worryingly high numbers, which would be 3 seconds and above, although it can be argued that I should have also included the 1 to 2 second range, which would be the yellow section. How often respondents were sleepy while driving? Half of the respondents cited at least occasional fatigue, and this is a worrying trend because it's combining youthful inexperience with drowsy driving. How often respondents answered calls while driving? We found that 2 out of 3 people picked up the phone at least some of the time. There's a 2011 CDC report that talked about how 69% of the respondents said that they had spoken on the phone simultaneously while driving within 30 days of their survey. So this type of cognitive distraction is one of the risky behaviors that my survey assessed. I had about 40 questions in my survey, so I'm just cherry picking a few results to share with you here. In particular, the fourth bullet, 32% fitting in more passengers than cars and technically allowable. As an undergraduate student, this was something I saw a lot. Going to limitations. So an unexpected roadblock was that no Rutgers administrators would allow me to send the survey to students across all 4 Rutgers campuses. This was something that my PI hadn't encountered before, so we weren't anticipating like getting an unexpectedly small sample size. And of the few administrators who did consent, they ended up sending it as part of a multi-section electronic newsletter, and of course my survey was near the bottom. So people either didn't know about the opportunity or didn't read the email. As per our IRB approval, we also weren't able to offer incentives. And there was a degree of response bias since these were self-reported results. So if somebody in my PI's office takes my research to the next level, there definitely needs to be a larger sample size in order to strengthen external validity. Well, Strains, my alma mater, did consent to distributing the survey twice in standalone emails. So when we looked at the trends and responses, it did seem to correlate with when the Blaustein School sent out these email blasts. And since I had modified these questions from previously validated surveys, I didn't need to pilot test new questions. I have some ideas for research assistants who might be taking this to the next step. One thing that stood out to me was the high number of respondents who cited being drowsy while driving. Some hypotheses might be because of a high workload, the very on-the-go environment, especially in the tri-state area, but it combined with youthful inexperience, it just wasn't a positive trend. Some institutes in the Northeast area expressed interest to my PI about the survey data. So the organizations listed on this slide are collaborating on a toolkit to prevent distracted driving prevention in this younger age group. This is a thank you to my PI and the undergraduate research program at Rutgers that allowed me to do this project. And that's the end of my presentation. Does anybody have any questions? All right, thank you for your time.